You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're tuned into Simply Save, your one-stop shop to know how to manage your personal finances. With me is Kezad Adijania, personal finance editor of Money Control, who will talk about how people in their 40s should invest their money wisely for a safer future. Hi and welcome to the show, Kezad.
Hi, Jerome. Good to be back.
Yes, pleasure having you here, Kezad. Firstly, Kezad, we spoke about how 20s should manage their money. We spoke about how people in their 30s should manage their money. Now you said something about the sandwich generation. I remember just before we could begin, can you tell us what exactly is the sandwich generation?
Okay, so, you know, typically people in the 40s, financial planners, experts call them a sandwich generation because, they have on one side their parents to take care of.
Okay.
And on the other side, they have their kids to take care of.
Okay.
Okay, so their parents are also nearing their retirement or right. may have already retired, just retired, you mm-hmm. know, so you have their expenses and caring for them is concerned. And you have your kids also who just graduated and higher education, maybe going for their postgraduate. Mm-hmm. So a financial planner friend of mine had just joked, this is a sandwich generation. Nobody listens to you. You know, your parents don't listen to you. Your kids don't listen to you.
Right.
I mean, in my case, obviously it's true, but I don't have a kid, but my mom doesn't listen to me ever. So that's a sandwich generation for you.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about how somebody who's sandwiched, can look forward to investing healthy.
We'll get to the investing part a little later. Mm-hmm. Just basically, let's try and first identify who a typical 40-year-old is. Okay.
Right.
So, we've talked about 20s, as you said, we've talked about 30s in the past couple of weeks. Now, by the time you come into your 40s, hopefully your career is well settled. You're looking at probably upgrading yourself as far as skills are concerned, as far as your job is concerned.
Right.
Your income is now settled. You're no longer struggling with a low salary. Hopefully, by the time you enter your 40s, your salary levels are also well established, okay,
mm-hmm.
whichever industry you're working in.
Right.
So all those things are now, sort of taken care of, okay. But at the same time, as I said, you have to take care of your parents, you have to take care of your kids. So your responsibilities have also gone up quite substantially as compared to, let's say, a 30-year-old and a 20-year-old.
Right.
Your salaries have also gone up, but mm-hmm. then, by the time you enter your 40s, your lifestyle would have also gone up. So your expenses would also go up.
Right.
So you need to take care of that as well.
Right.
And bear in mind that you are just basically, 2 decades away from retirement, a decade and a half. Quite some time ago, people used to retire at 60, 65.
Right.
But today, people are already saying that, we'll retire when we turn 50 or 55. So just keep that at the back of your mind when you are entering your 40s, because you have that much time only remaining for you to make money from your investments.
Okay.
You don't have the luxury of 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So before that, you need to identify all these points before you start off on your investment journey.
Okay.
Or continue your investments, assuming that you're already on your investment journey in your 40s.
All right. Kezad, so what should they prioritize when they're thinking of investing?
You're at a very crucial stage of your financial planning. So you have to think about your will
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Okay.
Ideally, financial planners always suggest that the moment you open your first salary account is the time that you should think of making a will.
Okay.
You don't need to be a millionaire. You don't need to be a rich person to make a will. Whatever little bit of assets that you have, you should start making a will, and you should always have a will in place so that mm-hmm. whoever is your next in kin mm-hmm. will receive whatever little or more that you have.
Okay.
But it should not be neglected,
okay.
after you're gone. So at 40 years of age, you should always start making your will.
Mm-hmm.
Have your spouses as your joint names in your investments.
Okay.
Have your nominations in place
mm-hmm.
in your investments.
Mm-hmm.
So every investment, you will be able to nominate.
Mm-hmm.
You can nominate a person.
Right.
So you can either nominate your spouse or you can nominate your kid or even your parent also.
Okay.
But make sure that the next generation is ready or the next person in line is ready to get the money should anything happen to you.
Okay.
So wills and estate planning is very, very important once you enter your 40s.
Okay. Extremely different from what a 20-year-old should
yes.
prioritize, what
absolutely.
A 30-year-old should
absolutely.
Prioritize now coming to the 40s. Yes,
absolutely.
I mean, you've got a different set of priorities
yeah,
altogether.
Absolutely.
Now, you said you should, have your next of kin as in nominated in your will or your spouse. How important is it for a spouse to take part in your financial planning? Should you even include them in your financial planning?
That's a very good question.
Yes.
So you should...
I'm not married, by the way.
No, but still, typically around 40s, you have to sort of think about these matters in any case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so look... both spouses must be involved in family finances. Right. That's a must. Okay. Right. And especially so if you are in your 40s, mm-hmm. because, you know, as I said, you know, you have to make your wills. It's a sandwich generation, basically. So, you know, you have a lot of responsibilities on your shoulders. This is the stage where, you know, lifestyle diseases or anything can sort of set in. Mm-hmm. So, and when we say that, you know, your wills and estate planning should be in place, mm-hmm. one way of doing it is that your spouses also should take a keen interest in your finances, and they should know where you keep your checkbooks or where you keep your passbooks or where you keep your investments. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we have noticed many times when husbands pass away, mm-hmm. Wives are completely clueless as to whatever money that their husbands had. Okay. Where is the passbook? Where is the checkbook? Even forget about investments. All these little things also, people, you know, don't know where these things are kept.
Okay.
So you have to be in the know. You have to know, both the spouses should know where the money finances are being invested.
Person.
Which right. Make a list of your mutual funds or make a list of your investments and show it to your spouse and say that, you know, this is where we keep it and all that.
Okay.
That's very important.
Wow, this is again, you know, quite eye-opening. What next then? You know, we've talked about making a will. We've talked about including your partner in all your investments. How do you proceed further?
Insurance.
All right.
Okay. We've spoken about insurance before.
Yes.
We've spoken the need to have an insurance, but mm-hmm. all the more important now to have your insurance, because by the time you come to your 40s, your mm-hmm. insurance will become more and more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer 20-year-old. So yes. obviously your premiums that you have to pay mm-hmm. when entering into a policy at this point in time will be much, much higher. It's still easier to get your insurance at 40s mm-hmm. than, let's say, when you are in your 50s, or definitely when you come to your 60s and you don't have an insurance policy.
Okay.
So take an insurance policy if you don't have one.
Alright.
Okay, take a medical insurance, take a basic health insurance policy, take also a critical care insurance policy also.
Okay.
And tell your spouse that this is the insurance policies that you have.
Okay.
Because these are all cashless policies, most right. of the policies right. these days.
Mm-hmm.
So suppose if you are admitted to a hospital and all that, you need to carry your policies, or policies should be there around you, so mm-hmm. that, you know, when you're getting discharged, you can actually just show them the policy papers. You don't have to take out any cash from your pocket at that point in time.
Right.
So insurance is definitely there.
Okay.
And loans, I would say, try and prepay your loans in your 40s, whatever
okay.
loans that you would have taken. Remember, we had spoken about
yes.
taking loans in your 30s also,
mm-hmm.
when you're buying a house mm-hmm. or whatever, you when you're buying a car or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you end your 40s and you come into your 50s, try and pay your loans as far as possible.
Okay, is it good to prepay?
I would always say it's good to prepay. See, some people would always do a mathematical calculation
mm-hmm.
to say whether it actually makes sense, given the tax benefits
mm-hmm.
or given the interest rates, always makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may make sense to postpone prepaying the loan.
Okay.
It may make sense to go ahead with the loan.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a traditionalist, okay? Debt is debt, after all, at the end of the day. It's a sword
right.
hanging over your head, right?
Right.
Why don't you just get rid of it, pay off the debt,
yes.
and then, you know, you can sleep peacefully in the night. You don't want some creditor standing outside your door one fine day, God forbid, if things go wrong.
Right.
You know, you lose a job or something. I'm not trying to be gloomy or anything, but
right.
it's good to know these things.
I would completely agree. Precaution's better than cure.
Correct.
So
pay off your loans as far as possible. And plus, you know, during your 50s, once you cross your 40s and enter your 50s, remember, this is the very last decade of your full-fledged working career, and your salary would be at your peak
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so make sure that maximum goes into your investments
right.
and minimum goes into your loan repayments. To be able to do that, you need to prepay your loans
right.
or repay your loans or whatever in your 40s itself.
Okay, just for example, like, you know, we prepaid loans. How seriously we should take our investments then going forward?
So by the time people come in their 40s, what we normally see is that they have a very bloated fat portfolio with them.
Okay.
So they have too many schemes, mutual fund schemes, too many insurance policies already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you would have been wanting to save tax year after year after year. So every year people tend to buy another tax saving instrument,
mm-hmm.
which we obviously say that, you know, don't buy too many tax saving instruments. Just keep putting your money in the same tax instruments.
Okay.
But keeping that aside, by mm-hmm. the time an average person enters his 40, he or she would have a bloated portfolio. So in your 40s, consolidate your portfolio. Okay. Consolidate your portfolio, make it more manageable. Just 4, 5, or 6 mutual fund schemes is more than enough. Okay. And just keep reinvesting in the same scheme again and again and again. Okay. Every year. Unless your scheme is really doing very bad, mm-hmm. keep your money in the same scheme. Okay. So keep your portfolio, consolidate your portfolio, bring it down to a more manageable level. And then normally what people, we notice is that normally when they are in the 40s, they want to try something exotic mm-hmm. instrument to invest in. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that temptation may come in when you are in your 40s, because you know you already have your investments, you know what a mutual fund is, you know what an insurance is, mm-hmm. so why not try something new? People have this skida, right. Okay. Let's do that. But so the 40s is normally a time when you start thinking about all those things. Mm-hmm. My advice is stay away from exotic instruments. If it's too good to be true, it is actually too good to be true.
Okay.
Simple products.
All right. Again, very good anecdote. Are you trying to suggest that they should diversify? Or I mean, I do not quite get that. Could you just elaborate a little?
Diversification is important.
Okay.
It means that you can't have all your eggs in the same basket.
Right.
So you cannot have all your money in just let's say one share or one stock or just everything in gold or everything in real estate, you know, or everything in bank fixed deposits, which mm-hmm. most of us do. So you need to diversify. You need to have some money in equity mutual funds. You need to have some money in debt mutual funds. Mm-hmm. You need to have, let's say, 5 or 10% of your wealth in gold. Mm-hmm. Okay. That way your diversification is necessary, but within each investment bucket, don't have like 40 mutual funds, you know, or right. multiple properties mm-hmm. or multiple bank fixed deposits. Mm-hmm. So that, and people tend to do that sometimes. So okay. over a period of time, for example, bank fixed deposits. Okay. Mm-hmm. So people tend to have like 10, 20 bank fixed deposits with them, because every year these are a new recurring deposit,
right.
or every year they invest in a new mutual fund scheme. So by the time you turn in, come to your 40s, you will have like 20, 30 mutual funds.
Wow.
So
okay.
you need to consolidate, but you need to diversify as far as our asset classes are concerned.
All right. Now, the most important thing here, apart from your retirement, apart from your savings, are your kids. How should you deal with their education? What exactly should you be doing to making sure that their career, their future is also secure?
You would have obviously ideally started to plan for them when at a very young age.
Yes.
And with the hope that, you know, when they are ready to go for the college mm-hmm. or the future postgraduate education.
Right.
You have a sizable corpus for them so that they can pay their fees. Okay?
Okay.
Now, sometimes what happens is that you haven't accumulated the kind of corpus that the college requires.
Okay.
So sometimes you have to take an education loan in the name of the child mm-hmm. and the child then has to pay once they start working. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes what happens is that, you know, the ambitions are way too high mm-hmm. and you don't have so much of means at your end. So you don't have the money to sort of pay for your higher education college. So you have to strike a balance over there. I mean, I don't want to be too preachy or something like that, but I've seen many parents dip into the retirement savings to fund their children's education. Okay,
right.
But mind you, that's a very, very bad idea. Okay,
okay.
Because you know, your retirement corpus, once it goes away, it's very difficult to come back.
Right.
You're not going to get those lost years back, right?
Mm-hmm.
For your money to be able to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And many parents commit that kind of a mistake. I mean, I've known a case where somebody has sold their house, mm-hmm. not the house in which they live, but ancestral home, just to fund the child's education. So to what extent will you go to sell your family silver to fund your child's dream?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that you need to think about, because your retirement, see, your child is going to be independent after all. A child is not necessarily going to come and look after you. You need to
right.
be independent.
Right.
So strike a balance.
You
know, you need to save money for your kids' education also, but don't give up everything.
Okay.
Definitely not your retirement corpus. That's very, very precious.
All right. Anything else, Kezar, that you feel a 40-year-old, a typical 40-year-old should be doing or should not be doing before we sign off?
Okay. Keep investing regularly.
Okay.
Every month. Do
okay.
your SIPs regularly mm-hmm. and keep investing. And keep the expenses in check. Keep the loans in check.
All right. Kezar, thank you so much for your valuable advice. Let me just tell you that our listeners have been extremely interactive with us. We've been receiving quite a lot of feedback. Even on social media, they are thanking you for providing all these valuable insights to them.
My pleasure.
Lastly, I would like to tell our listeners, is there something that you would want to ask Kezar? Then he would definitely help you with a solution there. So if you want to just, you know, ask a quick query or you want us to touch base on some topic, do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. That is mcpodcast@nw18.com. at nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Money Control presentation.